and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 229, the We Are Ready for Fall episode. I love fall. Right now, we don't really have fall because we're having a hurricane. Yeah, I am talking to you from the center of the great state of North Carolina, from my hometown, Durham. And we're just having some rain, and I think we're going to have a lot of rain. And I'm not particularly worried for myself, but I am worried about the folks out east. And and a little bit down towards Charlotte. The thing about this storm, which is now, it's actually not even a hurricane, it's a tropical storm, is it's moving really slowly. And so there's going to be flooding. Again, I think the biggest problem we'll see here in Durham is power outages. And I've already had some friends who have reported that their power went out for a couple hours, but ours is still on, in fact. So it's Friday, by the way. It's Friday, September 14th. And I worked this morning. And then as soon as I was done with lunch, I started sewing. It's like, I'm going to sew as much as I can while I have power. Well, I've had power all afternoon, which is great. I'm working on a couple quilts, which I talk about in the Quilt Diaries. One is it's a modern quilt, and it is just kind of coming along. I'm just messing around. It's on the wall. Oh, my goodness. Travis is getting very excited. He's got a bone. Yeah, and he is. Okay, he wants me to play with him. I mean, and I don't mind, like, if I walk toward him, he will, of course, gleefully grab his bone and run away. But I have to tell you, over here in the front room on the rug, I have a quilt top laid out. And I'm afraid if I do this, he will pick up his bone. Maybe if I can get it up, here we go, very quickly. And then I'm going to throw it in the other way. But yes, I'm working on this Crown of Thorns quilt. And it is, you know, it's spread out on the carpet. It's a big quilt. It's a big quilt. And it's great, and I'm excited about it. I was talking about the other quilt I'm working on is sort of a modern, funky quilt. I'm calling it Modern Garden Paths. And I have both of these pictures of both on the show notes if you want to see them. The one of the Crown of Thorns is not very good because it's laid out here on the floor. I've only sewed together three rows. It's on point. So it's anyway, that's it. Doing something on point, it looks great. It's a little bit more complicated in terms one this particular quilt because it's so big. It's not the biggest quilt in the world, but it's pretty dang big. And now I'm looking at it and going, oh yeah, and I got to quilt this too. We're going to be doing some very simple straight line quilting, which I love, which I am all about in any event. But there's a lot, you know, you have to have the setting triangles and all this stuff. And so it just makes it a little bit more complex, the laying out of it. So here it is. I have one block left to finish. And then I will be getting this all put together. And that is my goal for this weekend, assuming that the power stays on. I don't have plans other than my writing group girls, who are now all in high school. The two youngest are Ellie and Anna, and they are freshmen. They've just started their freshman years. I have known Ellie since she was in fourth grade, and she's a genius. She's amazing. Anyway, should the power stay on and everything be okay, and should it be safe to travel, we're going to meet on Sunday. But otherwise, I'm done with work for the week. I worked hard all week, and so I'm going to have a sewing weekend as long as I've got power. So, you know, I should get on with the Quilt Diary, shouldn't I? I'm just in here, just kind of gazing at my quilt that's laid out, my semi-constructed quilt top, going, huh, yeah, that's nice. As though you were in the room with me and we were just wandering around. All right, so I think that's all I have to tell you to start off with. I will say this, I continue just to be really touched by my online community of quilting friends, by your support on my various projects. I just started a new Instagram account, and it's called Frances Dow Books. And, you know, here's the thing. In this day and age, I read this. I did not make this up myself, but I think it's very true. All publishing is self-publishing. As a writer, you have to do your own marketing. And, you know, for something like, you know, Birds in the Air, I think that's fine. For my children's books, which are actually published by Simon & Schuster, one of the largest corporations and certainly publishing corporations in the world, you'd think they'd give me a little more help, but that's not how that works. So I am trying to be more proactive in promoting my children's books. I hate self-promotion. I'm really bad at it. It takes a lot of time. You have to keep going, look at me, look at me. And, you know, I've got a bit of look at me in me. Anyone who's trying to make a career as, you know, a published novelist, there's some of that going on. I will admit it to you, but you know, I'd rather like, look at me and then come talk to me. Let's have a conversation as opposed to look at me and buy my stuff. That to me is kind of rough. But what just knocks me out is I started the new Instagram account, Frances Style Books, and I mentioned it on my Off Kilter Quilt Instagram feed, and like now all my followers over on Frances Style Books are like quilters. Every time I post something, all my quilting friends like it, and it just tickles me. I'm just like, wow, I just have this great community that I'm a part of, and it pleases me to no end. So thank you for listening and being supportive, and if there's anything I can do to return the favor, just let me know, and I mean that. I think, pretty sure, yeah, okay, I'm gonna say it. I mean it, yeah, I do. No, that's what, yeah, I feel like in whatever ways we can help each other out, we should do our best. But I feel like I am the great recipient of so much help and support, and I just am just so deeply touched by it. So thank you very much for your friendship, for your listenership, and let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. It's been a little while. I know that. I'm going to do better. I promise. All right, here we go. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Tuesday, 14th of August. It's quite beautiful. Not that I'm affected by the weather whatsoever, and I certainly don't complain about it, nor do I praise it. But I will say it's mid-August, and it's not even 90 degrees outside. I feel like everyone else in the country is getting really crazy bad weather, and we here in North Carolina are finally getting a summer of loveliness, or an August of loveliness. July was a little rainy, not that I'm complaining, but it was kind of overcast and rainy. And it's not been a good summer for tomatoes. That is the big sadness. Farmers market tomatoes have been fine. But our tomatoes, they started out fine. But it's been odd because it was cold for a long time and then suddenly it was very hot. And then July it rained. And now the tomatoes, they're there. And you get excited as you get close to them because they're red. And then you realize that they're all kind of cracked and soggy on the inside because we get a lot of thunderstorms at night. So, yeah, so they look good from a distance. That's so true of so many things. So my quilty life, let's talk about it. Let's talk about quilts. I am working on a quilt that incorporates the Crown of Thorns block. Yes, this is a 1930s quilt. And here's the funny thing. My friend Patty over at Elm Street Quilts is helping me out. And the first time she helped me out is with a quilt I'd already made, the Double Windmill Quilt, a free pattern available on the quiltfiction.com site. And I sent her the measurements and the, you know, the block sizes and all of that, and then she worked out the pattern. Well, with Crown of Thorns, we attempted to do it the other way, but my problem is, and this is, it's totally my fault, because I forgot Jay's dictum, art quilt maker Jay's dictum, which is make visual decisions visually. So I decided I wanted a big block. I thought this should be a big block quilt. Partly out of sheer laziness, right? The bigger the block, the fewer blocks you have to make, etc., etc. But I really thought, big quilt. This is going to be big quilt, big block. Big block, big quilt. And so she worked out the directions for that. Well, I thought I'm going to do a test block looking at Patty's directions. But of course I cut my half square triangles wrong, as I often do, because I forget to do. You know what you do with half square triangles? You do that Fonz and Porter thing where you cut a square, what is it, let's say 7 3/4, and then you get half, 8 half square triangles out of that, and it's a great way to make a bunch at once and then you cut down. Well, I should have made a bigger square because I needed bigger half square triangles, but I'm so used to making half square triangles that are either 3.5 or 2.5 inches. And so I ended up with half square triangles that would be right for a 12 inch finished block. So I thought, well, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. I just want to make sure that, you know, the pattern works in terms of numbers of half square triangles and solid squares and what have you. So I did that. And when I finished the block, I thought, oh my goodness, this is more the size. I don't want a 15-inch block because this block, the 12-inch block, is big enough. So, so I told Patty, and she's like, okay, I'll redo the math, which I hope she hasn't done because so I've made several of these 12-inch blocks. It's very pretty. I am making them using a pink fabric that is, you know, it's just your basic pink. It's a nice, it's not a deep pink. It maybe has a touch of dustiness to it. And so I made a bunch of them and then I put them on the wall and I realized that what we want to do is set them on point and also have alternating blocks of crown of thorns, then just a solid white block, crown of thorns, solid white. And suddenly, I realized the 12-inch blocks, if you do that, 12-inch blocks are pretty big blocks. And to set them on point and then to be alternating with, you know, I mean, first you would alternate them with the white blocks and then, you know, at the very end, cut the corner stones. That's not right. What am I thinking? The setting triangles and put the whole thing on point. And so it's too much. It's not, to me, at that point, it becomes uninteresting because the size of the blocks are actually not that many blocks, right? They're not that many crown of thorn blocks, I should say. And so I was just like, that's kind of blah. So I thought, you know what? Maybe you should do 10-inch blocks. And so I just made a 10-inch block, turning to look at it. And I think that's what I want to do. These 10-inch blocks set on point. Patty doesn't know this yet. But it just made me realize I need to make the quilts first. It's not fair to Patty to say, yeah, put something together, because I'm not going to know what I want until I make it, until I mess around. And that is my process. And at that point, once I figure it out and have it made, then Patty's smart enough because she can do math, which is really just such a useful skill to develop over the years. She can figure it out from what I send her. But I can't, until I see it in real life, I don't know what I want. That is the story of my life, perhaps. Anyway, this has just been a profound reminder of how important that is for me to make visual decisions visually. But I'm having a good time. I'm a little bit under the weather. I think it may be allergies because we had such a cool July and things are heating up a bit now. I feel like maybe some of the spores that typically would have attacked me in July are attacking me now. But that's okay because I am not a good napper. If I can nap, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I would be, in fact, fast asleep, but I don't nap well. And so even though I feel a little drowsy and a little something, just mostly tired, my throat's a little sore, my eyes a little scratchy, there's no reason to stop. There's just no reason to not live my normal life. So I work today. I'm working on Friendship Album 1933 for the podcast, for the Quilt Fiction podcast, which we are starting back up in a couple weeks. And I had a good writing day. And here's the thing. Now, here's the very exciting thing about this very second. I am in the house alone, but for Travis, the quilt dog. I don't know where Travis is. Travis is so fuzzy right now. Now, by the time I post this episode, he will have been groomed. And I will put before and after pictures up because he has never gone this long without a grooming and he just looks like a mop. But because of his disc problem, you can't get him groomed because it's all about getting moved around and shoved this way and that, and you know, he would be re-injured, and we're a little concerned now, although he's not 100%, but he's pretty dang close. But we're We are still worried about him being re-injured. But fortunately, our groomer works with poodles, and Travis is a cockapoo. And poodles actually have these, can have these spine problems. His dachshunds have them the most. And I got a wonderful and kind of sad comment from Kelly about that they had a dog who had similar problems and actually finally had, you know, finally passed away. So I feel so sad about that and so grateful that Travis has healed as well as he has. But but anyway, so it's me and this very fuzzy furball mop of a dog here in the house, and nobody else. And I'm trying to think when that has happened. Jack has not been home a lot this summer because he's been working so much. He is done with work. He goes back to school on Saturday, and so he's out getting his hair cut and going to Target, and he's, you know, I feel like the rest of the week he's actually meeting up with people, and we may not see very much of him for the rest of the week. But Jack is out running errands, and Will has a soccer scrimmage with a downtown high school, and the man has gone to watch the scrimmage. So yeah, so it's just me and Travis in the house. And I know there will come a time where being alone in the house will be a source of great sadness to me. But we are not at that time. We're like, woo, alone in the house. Oh my goodness, I can talk into my recorder and no one walks past me looking like, wow, you're really kind of nutty. So what else to tell you? I did a presentation at my guild on Sunday about the roots of modern quilting, which was a lot of fun. And the best part of it was the conversation it engendered after I was done. Because one of the things that I talked about was 1980s quilting, which is an era of quilting I don't know that much about. There are things to be known, but it's hard. If you go online and Google 1980s quilts, you get hits. The images you get are for a lot of like magazines, right? And it occurred to me that in terms of documentation, the 1980s are kind of a dark age. Not that the times before weren't, but okay. I guess this is it, is that before the 80s, there was a quilt revival, and so there was newspaper documentation of quilts. But in the 80s, I don't think anyone was paying attention to quilts outside of the quilting community. What surprised me in doing research for this presentation was to discover that the quilting community was very, very active in the 80s. And there were some things I knew. I knew, for instance, about the state documentation projects that were going on during the 80s that were very popular. I knew that the International Quilt Festival and Market in Houston started in the 80s. But it turns out, you know, it was an incredibly popular time to make quilts. Or I don't know if that makes sense. There were a lot of quilters quilting. There were a lot of guilds. And one of the big exciting things in the 1980s is that 100% cotton fabrics made for quilters were coming on the market. And people were really happy about that because, you know, as you might guess, making quilts using rayon or polyester, it's rough, you know, or stretchy fabric. All of that is, it's not ideal for quilt making. So people were making quilts left and right, but there wasn't a real interest in the popular culture, and the quilt making didn't really reflect the popular culture in a lot of ways. And I think that's one of the reasons that modern quilting has gotten a lot of attention when quilt making gets attention nowadays. Because there is a real connection between what's going on in the culture and what's going on in modern quilts. I could give you the whole talk about that. But anyway, you know, I mentioned something about wanting to talk to more people who had made quilts in the 80s. And it turns out there were quite a number of women in our guild who were making quilts in the 80s. And this is interesting, too, because it's a modern quilt guild. It's the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. And while there are any number of younger women in the guild, there are plenty who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And so people were talking about that. And people were talking, one of the women was talking about how she learned to quilt in the 80s And I think she learned from family, but then she actually ended up later teaching other women in her community who had not been quilt makers in the 1980s, but who got interested in quilting later. Another woman talked about how she was taught by her grandmother, because that's another question I have started to ask. Where did you learn to quilt? How? And when I talk to the East Cobb Quilters Guild, that I asked, how many of you learned to quilt from a mother, your mother or your grandmother? And it's always a minority, and it can be a small minority at times. But one woman on Sunday said that her grandmother taught her, that she was making in the 90s, the woman who was telling the story was making a pillow in home ec, and her grandmother thought that was a waste of time. So if you're going to learn to sew, you need to learn how to sew a quilt. And I asked her, I said, well, did your mother make quilts? And she said, oh, no. that she'd grown up in the eastern part of North Carolina. The woman speaking, her grandparents had been sharecroppers, and her mother was kind of like, once I get out of here, I'm going to the big city, and I'm not coming back. And she wasn't going to do any of that stuff. So quilting really skipped a generation in that family. So people were telling different kinds of stories like that, and about where they learned to quilt, and and there were stories of women who had started quilting in the 80s, and but then had kids and didn't have time to quilt, and then came back. And the modern quilting movement kind of brought them back into quilting. So it was kind of cool. So that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that giving that talk. And I really like my guild a lot. I just think an exceptionally nice group of women. And I am going on Sunday to take a short class, a three-hour class taught by Latifa Safir. And it's a wall-hanging quilt using bias tape. The skill is bias tape applique, which is something I've always wanted to learn how to do. So I'm excited about that, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I finally registered for QuiltCon. It's easier to put it off when you're not trying to get into classes, and one day I will. One day I'll be all set to go and know exactly what I'm doing and register on time and maybe get a class or two. But I love the lectures. That's the kind of stuff that kind of floats my boat when people are talking about quilting, and particularly talking about quilt culture and quilt history. And so I'm looking forward to, I'm going to a couple Mary Fonds lectures, one about feminism and quilting and the other about the roots of modern quilting. And there's one about cotton, so from farm to fabric, and that sounds interesting. And so I'm really looking forward to all of the lectures and hope they give me a lot to think about. Speaking of having things to think about or being prompted to think about quilting, I have to recommend this a recent episode of Just Got a Quilt with Mary Fonz and Tula Pink. It was fascinating. It is a 2-hour episode, which is just nuts. And I listened to it over the course of several days. I didn't listen to it 2 hours straight, but it was so interesting in so many ways. It was so interesting to hear Tula Pink talking about sort of her journey, not so much as a designer, and I think a lot of that is already, those stories are pretty available, but more talking about running a business and how hard she works, and the fact that I think it's interesting that neither Tula Pink nor Mary Fonz consider themselves to be modern quilters. I knew that about Mary Fonz. She's always said that she's really a traditional quilter, but I didn't know that about Tula Pink. But Tula Pink says something in the interview she said, basically I'm a 70-year-old woman. So, and she does traditional quilts. She just does them in this wild fabric that she designs. But, and Mary Fonz talks about magazines and won my heart by mourning the loss of Quilter's Newsletter, which was always my favorite magazine. Now my favorite quilt magazine is Quilt Folk, and because it's got content and it's got stories about quilters, and it makes me really happy. So, and it's a beautiful magazine. So anyway, it's an interview that goes in a lot of different directions. I actually would have loved, it got a little Tula heavy for me, and I liked, well, I didn't know if I liked Tula Pink or not. I liked Tula Pink after listening to this. I've never disliked Tula Pink. I do like her fabrics, but I know her fabric, like for some people, that just speaks to them. It really touches their soul. And what I would say is I love a lot of the colors, and some of it I just think is fabulous, but I'm not sure it touches my soul, where it's just like, yes, I have to have it. Sounds like Jack is probably back. So I will end up here for now, just saying if you're looking for something to listen to while you're sewing or taking a trip and are interested in all of the quilt industry or quilt culture, I will link to it in the show notes, but you ought to give this a listen. It's a lot of fun. So, all right, I will talk more later. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. It has been over a month since I posted a podcast. That was not my intention. I think because we're doing the quilt fiction again, started that up again, I feel like, oh, I have posted an episode, but not of this podcast, so I need to get back on it. Hello, how are you? I'm fine. I'm waiting for a hurricane to come and knock down a lot of trees. Actually, my main concern is that the power will go out. We will assume if the hurricane in any way gets close to us, the power will go out. The good thing for us is we're on the same grid as several nursing homes, and so the power company gets those lines up back up first. So we never are never without power for that long. I'm trying to think the longest that we've been without power here. I feel like maybe a day. So we'll see what happens. Actually, at this point, the last I heard the hurricane, it's Florence. Florence is veering a little bit south of us, so we may not get hit all that hard. But we have wine, we have tons of pasta, and we have a gas stove. So that means that we can cook. And the man, of course, has a cast iron Dutch oven that he can cook a bundt cake in out on the driveway. So he's really excited about that prospect. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Oh, there's so many things to tell you, and yet I haven't listened to my first quilt diary, which I recorded a little while back, so I'm really scared of repeating myself. So here's what I'll tell you. I took a class with Latifa Safir. It was a skill building class, how to make bias tape. So fun, although typical me, it took me a good bit to kind of get into the rhythm of the class. The thing that threw me off, which is hilarious, is connecting the binding strips, not the binding, bias strips, right? So you cut out, she showed us how you cut out fabric on the bias so that you can make bias strips, and it's kind of like joining binding strips, but it's a little bit different. The angle, I think, is just a touch different. There's something about it. It was something that wasn't working for me. And the rest of the class, this was through my guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, everyone else is just trotting along. That part's the easy part. They're getting it. I'm not, because I'm me. This is why I don't take classes, because sooner or later I feel like crying, because there's something I can't get. This is why I tend to try to teach myself first, then do the craftsy class, and if all else fails, go to a live class. The only time this hasn't been the case is when I learned how to paper piece. And the paper piecing class was over at Thimble Pleasures, and it was taught by a woman in our guild, although she wasn't teaching it through the guild, or maybe she was, but Nicole. And she did a great job, and I got it, and which is wild to me, because paper, you're flipping and marrying, and she just was a good teacher, and was really good, like when Nicole, I have a problem, and she would come over and take care of it. Now, so was Latifa Safir. I thought Latifa was a wonderful teacher, and she did come over and help me, and I was also sitting across from my friend Patty, who is my math person, who must be just getting so tired of me, because I get lost all the time. We're supposed to meet up someplace new, and it's like, yeah, I'll be there 30 minutes late, because I get lost, and also I'm terrible at math. She's very patient. So Patty helped me, Latifa helped me, finally I got it, and from that point on, it was smooth sailing. We worked on a pillowcase. The pattern is called Air Show. It's darling. I'll show you a picture. So it was a fun class. Maybe 20 people, 3 hours, which is right for me. 6 hours is too long. I'm too too in need of a snack, I think, and also too tired. I had a hard time in school as an introvert. I just would run out of energy. I was so tired at the end of the school day. So I should have gone to a 3-hour school because this was good. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's a nice way. Most of the women there, if not all, were members of the guild. It's such a good way, you know, to get to know people. And for instance, Bethany, who, you know, I've always said hello to and chatted with, very nice person, but turns out she's a librarian and you know, works in education. She works at NC State, you know, and we're just like, oh, all this stuff turns out we have friends in common and we're Facebook friends and we have Facebook, you know, and because we were sitting next to each other and talked about baking and her mother's English and all this stuff. It was very fun. And also, Laura, turns out, huge. I knew Laura was a baker from Instagram, but also a huge Great British Baking Show fan. And I don't know about you, if you love the Great British Baking Show, I want to say Bake Off, but it's not that. If you watch that, I'd be curious what you think about the new version, which is now on Netflix. No Mary Berry, no Sue and Mel. I thought I would hate it, and I do not. I like it a lot. I'm so happy. I hope they keep sending them to us. I really like it. So I'm about to bake. Did I mention the hurricane? Got a hurricane coming down the road? Yes, I think I did. So I need to bake some brownies. Not for me. I've got Pop-Tarts. No, I'm trying. I am doing Weight Watchers again online. I've lost 3 pounds in the first week. Thank you. So I will not be eating the brownies. I do have some dark chocolate if I need it. And I have wine. I know the points on wine. I'm good with wine. Yes. Anyway, so that's a nice thing about the class is, you know, it's sewing time and it's time spent with people in my guild who I like a lot. We've had some really good guild meetings. We had one this weekend. First of all, it's great. We're getting all these new people in our guild. And partly it's because we have a raffle quilt and we've gone to some events to sell raffle tickets. And to me, the best part of these events is that people come up and they sign up, you know, and they sign up for our email newsletter, and we get new people, which is great, you know. It's always good to have new faces and new people to be part of your community. And you know, one place, the first place we did this was at the Capital Quilters Quilt Guild Biennial Show, which was in February or March. And so, of course, you're going to get people to sign up. But then we just did an event in Cary in mid-August, which is such a great time for an outdoor arts festival in North Carolina. That's where you want to be, is baking in the sun in mid-August. But we did it, and, you know, we have our sign-up sheet and information and cards, and we got a ton of people signed up, and they came, and we had a teacher, I think her name is Claudia, I think her last name is Martinez, Snuggly Monkey, I think she is better known as Snuggly Monkey, and she taught a class on sashiko, and it was great. And, you know, not that I need to add any new projects to my list. I have way too many projects right now, but man, it was fun. I've always wanted to learn to do it, and we had such a good time. And so now that's something I know how to do. And if we lose power, I will be working on my sashiko sample panel that was part of the kit that I bought for the class. It's got 5 little panels, and I'm looking forward to that. I also have lots of yarn just sitting around to do some scarves. Working on Crown of Thorns quilt, almost done with the top. Yay, that's going to be, it's very weird because it's Wednesday, but because we've got the storm coming in, Will already doesn't have school Friday, he only has a half day tomorrow, and I just saw something where the Wake County Schools, that's the next county over, that's Raleigh, they have changed from having a half day tomorrow to having no school tomorrow, which makes me think something's happening. There's something changing in the storm pattern. So, but anyway, so Will at this point just has school for a half day tomorrow and then no school Friday. So it already feels like we're at the weekend. So I'm hoping should we have power through the weekend, which we very well may not, but if we do, to finish the Crown of Thorns. I'm also working on this quilt top. This is more of a playful thing. It's a modern quilt. It's called, right now I'm calling it Modern Garden Paths, based on the Nancy Page Garden Path block that comes up in the Friendship Album 1933, comes up in one of Emmeline's quilting columns. If you're listening to that, we just restarted after sabbatical, and I don't know if we're going to get this week's episode up or not. We'll see if we have power to do it. Anyway, I'm just playing around. I'll put a picture on the show notes, but I'm having fun with it. I'm working with these teeny tiny prints, 1930s prints, and giving them just a lot of negative space, because you know what? They will make you crazy. But I'm having fun doing that. So it's kind of fun to simultaneously be working on a traditional quilt, the Crown of Thorns, and then this modern quilt, which I'm playing a lot more, because I'm making it up as I go. And I need to do that a little bit. I need that kind of play in my life. What else to tell you? I want to get this posted before we lose power. I am reading things, but what am I reading? I just reread. It's like a comfort read. Not that I'm feeling sad, but sometimes you just need a book. Okay, I have to tell you, I started reading our book club book, and that was the Buddha of Suburbia. And I'm just not getting into it. I think if I were 20 years younger, I would. And now I'm just too tired for it. But I wanted something to read, so I reread What Alice Forgot by Luanne Moriarty, a book that I've already read at least twice. But that is the beautiful thing about being 54. It's like I know the general plot of the story, but I'd forgotten a lot of the particulars, and it's really, really fun. So I read that. I just checked out of the library yesterday, Dope Sick, which is about the opioid crisis by Beth Macy, and I would like to read that, although I know it will make me sad. So it's nonfiction, and it's supposed to be very, very good. I'm trying to think other novels. Oh, I read Ann Tyler's new novel, which is the Clock Dance. I really liked it. It is, it was interesting to read the reviews, like the Amazon reviews after I read it. And there are some people like, it's boring, it's simple. And it's not boring, but it is not a hard-hitting book, but it's Ann Tyler, so it is very well written and interesting characters who I liked a lot. And it's gentle. It's a gentle book. I would recommend it. I'd give it to my mom. For her birthday, which was just a couple weeks ago. So anyway, that is the most recent novel that I read. And then I'm reading a collection of essays by the poet Donald Hall, who just passed away fairly recently. I feel like in the last few months. And he was elderly. He was in his mid-90s, and he just comes from one of those families where people live to be in their mid-90s. In fact, he's a lifelong smoker. He's, as far as I know, smoking to the end. This collection of essays he wrote while he was in his 80s. And he has a new, I think it may have been posthumously published, but a collection of essays written in his 90s. He's a really good essayist. I like him a lot. A wonderful poet, but also wrote children's books, so kind of an all-around kind of writer. And I love reading essays. I love a good book of essays. So that is what I have been reading. I think that's kind of what's going on with me right now. I'm a little scared to continue talking because I have not listened to the first quilt diary, and I'm afraid I'm going to repeat myself. I know I must have mentioned the really great interview that Elizabeth did on Just Got a Quilt with Tula Pink and Mary Fonz. I bring this up in part because I just had an interview with Elizabeth myself. It was delightful. I don't know when it's going to be posted. I'll let you know. But, we were talking about that. One of the things that she asked me about was, what was my take on the quilting industry right now? And, in some ways, I don't know what I know about it. I'm interested the comparison for me, and I didn't really talk about this with Elizabeth, but I've talked about it elsewhere, I think, maybe even the first quilt diary, about what's going on with so many women innovators, or women starting their own businesses, oftentimes online, and the parallels with that and what was going on in the 1930s with a lot of cottage industries being set up. I think my interest is, so much in quilt culture, and that's why I've loved how many people seem to be interested in our guild. Just seeing this table set up, and it's like, oh, there are quilters around, and people who don't know a thing about modern quilting. But like our raffle quilt, which is an awfully cute quilt. I'm supposed to sell tickets. I probably will just buy it. I think we're all supposed to do $25 worth of tickets. And I just hate selling things so much that I think I will just buy $25 worth of tickets. And then maybe I'll win a quilt because it's awfully cute. I made a block for it. Oh, I've got to make my charity quilt block for QuiltCon. QuiltCon is coming up. Let me know if you're going to be there because I'd love to see you. I know I've got some Tennessee folks that listen. So, yeah, I want to see you there. I think I'm going to stop it here because I'd like to get it posted and I will try to do better about being on schedule. But I think I said that last time. I am not to be trusted, but it doesn't mean you're not important to me. You know you are. All right. I hope this finds you well. I hope this finds you quilting. And, you know, if you happen to live in a part of the world and a part of the country where fall is starting to kind of slowly creep in, I hope you're energized by that. You might be in the part of the world where spring is starting to creep in, and that's also an energizing time. For me, fall is the most energizing. I'm waiting for it. I think this hurricane is going to usher it in a little bit, as long as it doesn't knock over all the trees. That would be, yeah, it would be make you know, a really bad fall foliage season, I think. But yeah, that's what I just can't wait. I love fall, love making quilts in fall, and yeah, plan to make a bunch. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.